Come on.
I can take off right now. Woo! Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What am I supposed to do with this thing? Drop it down through my shirt?
We love this church. And it's been a while since we've been here. Gerald and Laverne have been going through stuff. Psalm 84 said, passing through the valley of weeping. And I used to hear all these preachers concentrate on the valley of weeping, valley of weeping, valley of weeping. God said, no, the key phrase here is through, going through the valley of weeping. And it's like that song that's out, you know, if you're going through hell, keep going. Just keep going. And we've been through that. And even the day before we came, we didn't know. My husband said to me, I believe I'm just going to call Gerald and tell him we can't come. And see, that's when the wife has to step up. I believe in you know, I usually go along with him, you know, but I said, oh, no, you're not calling anybody. We're going to that meeting. We will be in that meeting. And so, wives, you know, you don't always have to say that, but in your spirit, you can pray to God, and I tell you what, God will speak to your husband through your prayers. And so, I mean, I was going to come, and we have been through, and you know, it started 7 years ago through some things that I didn't know if we were going to make it. And 7 years, we've been in Missouri 7 years. And lots of good things happened too, though. You know, I mean, our house burned. We lost everything with no insurance before we went. That was in 2004. That's what started it.
Amen.
But then we got to Missouri, and...
Plus that, in 2 years there, we had 600 and...
That's what I was getting ready to say. 100%. If you'll just let me finish.
Right.
So, I'll get out of your way in just a minute.
I'm going to do like Jim does.
Be like Jim. Take a lesson from Jim. Just stand back there and turn me
loose. I'm afraid I'll never get back up there if I do that.
No.
I wonder sometimes.
Yeah.
So we got to Missouri, and people began to be born again. I mean, we have an assignment there. And like I said, we've been there 7 years. Our eighth year started in May, and God spoke to us about turnaround and new beginnings, and we know that we're going to have that and have already started that. So then, other things happened, but my theme in life is your rose will bloom again, out of Isaiah 35. I'm writing a book about it. Things happened, then our rose would bloom again, and we would be good again. And, you know, things were going along until October 16th when we got the message about our son. Our oldest son, my baby, was tragically killed in Indiana in a tractor accident. And at first, now what's that thing you had up there on your screen about 2011 in heaven? What was that? What's that you're saying for this year? What is it? Joined with heaven in 2011. Joined with heaven. I've got a grandmother there who was the closest person to me in my whole life, who is the only person in my whole life who ever showed me unconditional love like God. She's there. My dad's there. I've got loved ones there. I have a miscarried baby there. But I never really wanted to go as bad as I do now. And but I want to tell you things God does to comfort. He is our comforter. You know, at first, I thought we did pretty well. At first, I taught a women's conference the very next week. We kept going, kept doing. We didn't cancel anything. We kept going along, and I was just going along. And a counselor says, you will grieve. I was talking to him about my grandchildren. They said, you will grieve. You will either grieve now or you will grieve later, but you will grieve. And so mine just hit me months later. And I couldn't come out of it. And a few weeks ago, and the reason I'm telling this story is I want to just expound a little bit on what we've already been hearing about how God can move in ways that we don't expect or would not think he could ever move. And it was a Saturday morning. I was at home alone cleaning my kitchen. First time I'd been alone in, I don't know when, because my kids from Indiana have moved down to be around us just because of this tragedy that happened in our life. We're sticking together like glue. And our family's always been close, our kids. But I was in the kitchen and by myself. And I was going to listen to me some praise music because that's what I do. I listen to praise music all the time. I'm in my car for hours a day. I'm listening to praise music. I'm in my kitchen. I'm dancing. I'm serving God and praising God. And Christian music, that's all I hear. I don't listen to anything else. Well, I'm a fanatic. Nothing against anybody else that wants to listen to that other stuff, but I don't. Well, my son Kelly, he did. And even growing up as a teenager, he would bring me a tape and he'd say, "Mom, now listen to this." And it would have in there the good Lord, or, you know, or somebody had prayed, you know, country music. Where
the old man upstairs.
Yeah, something like that. And he'd play that for me and say, "Here, Mom, see, hear this." And because he loved country music. Well, that Saturday morning, just a few weeks ago, my good music was in the kitchen. I mean, in the car. So we have a basket on our counter that we throw everything in that we don't know what to do with. And I looked in that basket and I saw this CD. And I picked up this CD. And I had never seen it before, didn't know where it came from. And it said Kid Rock. Well, I hate Kid Rock. You know, and I thought, what is this? And I don't know Kid Rock. I only know one song he ever sang. Somebody brought that to me. Listen to this song. I saw your picture today. Who knows it? And so I put that CD in my CD player, and I turned it on. And the name of the CD was Born Free. And that song began to play. And God gave me just a visitation from my son, because the whole song was about his life and how he lived. And it was like he was singing that to me, you know, winding through the mountains, getting farther from home. And at the end of his life, I'm aching, I'm in pain. You know, this is going to end. And he said, "But I'm going to celebrate God's grace on me." Yeah. I'm celebrating God's grace on me. He said, "Now, I don't believe in good long goodbyes, but you just look into my eyes and you're going to know that I'm ready." And I'm telling you, it was a phenomenal thing. It was a phenomenal thing that delivered me from such grief that I could hardly go to work or talk to anybody. And I would have never in a million years thought Kid Rock, Kid Rock's going to get me out of this. But God used that tape. And I'm going to tell you something else. The next song was just as good as the first one. And it was about newness, new beginning. I'm telling you, God, you know, don't ever count God out. Don't ever count yourself out on ways that God can minister to you and help you. We have him in a box. We all do, no matter how free we think we are, because I think I'm the freest person in the world, but I had God in a box. I had him in a box. You guys. And I got something for you tonight. You finished 7 years of marriage. And you're starting 8 years of marriage. And I think you know about biblical numerology because you mentioned something last night about six. But seven is completion. You guys have walked through some really hard times. It's been great, though. God brought you together in such a supernatural way that I know a little bit about. But then you've walked through some rough times. But you've come to a place of completion in a lot of that. And this year number 8 that you're starting today, year number 8 is going to be different. And it is new beginnings. And it is rivers in the desert. The things that you've been preaching and sharing with everybody else and pouring out into us, that's for you. That's for you in your family, areas in your family. You're going to see rivers in the desert, new things coming. In your finances, in a plan that God has for you yet to reveal this year, you're going to see some awesome, awesome, wonderful, wonderful things in this new 8th year. And that is from the Spirit of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. We're starting our 8th year in Missouri. And I'm believing for it to be better than the past 7 in a lot of ways. We love you all so much. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of this. It's meant more to us than we have words to express to you.
Amen.
God bless you.
Let me say something about before she leaves here. She's got a set of series of CDs back there on rewards of obedience. And many of these teachings, I think she, well, I know maybe all of them, I can't remember for sure, that she did since this happened to us. I was so blessed to be able to record some of this, and it ministered. It ministered to me. There's some great teaching in this. And so if you'd like that, we've got that back there. And then she said, what about your CDs? I said, what about them? That's what we said before. Jerry sells her CDs. I give mine away, and she said that's because she can sell hers. I preach the same thing all the time. I just change the titles. Nobody knows the difference. I want everybody to close your eyes, bow your head, close your eyes. Okay, you can look back up now. I got my pants pulled up. I'm going to start off that way. They may come back down, but I'm going to start off that way. And this thing on my ear, I've got Oral Roberts ears. And this is a Charles Katz thing, I think. I don't know what that is, but it's for mouse ears. But I made fun of Oral Roberts one time. I didn't make fun of him, but I noticed his ears. He was standing out in front of the City of Life, and they were having a baptismal service out there in that fountain thing. And he was standing there talking, the wind was blowing, and his ear lobes was moving. I told Jerry, I said, look at that guy's ears. And it wasn't a month after that, my ears were just as big. You got to be careful making fun of people's ears. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I may believe you can have a good time in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'll tell you what, I've had a great time, and I thank God for Gerald and Laverne. I couldn't... You know, I'm too broke to express how well I feel about them, but I'm going to do the best I can. Amen. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
And I'll sell something, my tapes back here, if you'd like. But anyway, I couldn't say enough about them. And you know, they've always been there for us, and probably. He's as close to a pastor as anybody I know to me. And, you know, the last guy I asked to be my pastor quit being. I feel like, you know, if I stood here the rest of the time and talked about them and how great they are, I don't think I'd surprise anybody in here with anything I said about how good they are. And what's going to be done tonight is perfectly in decently and in order, you know, for this wonderful couple.
Amen.
And like I said, I couldn't say enough. You know, I travel a lot, and I get to go to congregations maybe that I've never even met before. There'll be somebody in that congregation that'll talk to their pastor. I've never been self-promoting. I just figured that, you know, if God couldn't promote me, I didn't go. And so I've never been self-promoting. Only one time I ever called somebody and said, this person said for me to call you, and they said, I don't even know that person. And I said, okay. So I decided that wasn't going to work. But I didn't do that. I've never been self-promoting. I always felt like that God, you know, that God could promote you. The Bible says that the anointing is what will open the doors for you and breaks the yoke. Amen. It causes things to change for you. And so, but I do get to go to a lot of places because someone will be at a meeting where I'm at, and they'll hear me, and they'll go back, and they'll talk to their pastor, and if they're in good standing with their pastor, I've been fortunate enough to be able to go to places before where I've never met the pastor, and I walk in, and the only person I would know was the one that was there, and recently I got to do that in a little town in Borden, Indiana. I don't know whether anybody knows where Borden, Indiana is or not. But it's a beautiful place through there. It's a valley. You can look at the knobs there, you know, from New Albany or towards New Albany and see the knobs. So I got to go in that place and minister the message of God's good news and God's unconditional love for the first time. And in doing that, I didn't teach on healing. I didn't preach on anything like that. I didn't even preach on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I preached on the love of God. And in that meeting, which there was probably maybe 50, 60 people there, there was four people saved and four people baptized in the Holy Ghost and miracle healings. And so I know this, that I know that people need to know that God loves them. Amen. You know, we can say, if I said this, I want you to finish this statement for me. God is good. But you know what? People don't believe that. People only believe that God is good when they're good. And here's the truth about this. It's not you being good that makes God good. Come on. It's not you being good that makes God good. God was good before you was ever good. And God loved you before you ever loved Him. Everything that is decent and good and makes God what He really is, He was before you were. Amen. And so you are not going to change that. But we get to thinking we do, don't we? We'll say things, and I heard Brother Jim say it this time, and we need to say this. We really do need to see ourselves the way God sees us. But I was studying that and preaching it, and I preached it like that for years, and then one day, finally God spoke to me and said, you know, He said, when you say that to a person, they look at their self, and they still see their faults. They still can't see themselves the way God sees them. He said, you need to change that and say, you need to see yourself the way I see Jesus. It takes you out of the equation. Come on. When you can see yourself the way God sees Jesus, you won't see anything wrong with you. Come on. And isn't that really how He sees you? I was preaching this grace message to a preacher. I love to preach it to preachers. And it gave him nightmares. He told me, he called me up and he said, you know, I've been having dreams ever since you preached this. He wants to get it. And when you get that away, the only thing that's in your way is your head. You know, the stuff that you've been taught. You know, we've got a lot of opinions of God. Everybody, if we went around this room right now and had you write down your opinion of God, by the time it got back up here, there's no telling what God would look like. We'd have to turn into Hindus. We'd have so many different gods. Come on. But you know, there's only one opinion of God to you. And that's He loves you. And that's the opinion that we need to hang on to, amen? Not our opinion of Him. What do we know? The Bible says His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. That's why He can do above and beyond what we can think or ask. You know, the way He thinks about you and the way He feels about Deuteronomy, or Jeremiah 29:11, isn't it? It says, I know my thoughts toward you. Now, it's funny that He would say it that way. In other words, hey, don't you be telling me what my thoughts are toward you. I know my thoughts toward you, saith the Lord. I know my thoughts. God knows how He thinks about you. You don't have to help Him. And unless your mind's renewed, amen, unless you have the same mind of Christ, you're thinking wrong anyway. Anytime that you think, you know, found out something. I was sitting in a meeting one day not getting nothing but condemned. And this person said something. that jumped in my spirit, and I'd never thought of this. All the years that I've been ministering, and all the years that I've been trying to think the way God thinks, and to think the way of myself, the way I ought to think, the way God thinks of me. This person said, "You know, Satan speaks to you in first person, in your mind." I'd never thought of that. Now think about this for a minute. If Satan, if God told you, go do this, and if Satan spoke to you and said, "You can't do that," you'd say, "I'll show you I can." But he doesn't do that. He comes to you in first person and says, "I can't do that. I can't do that." And so we think it's because we don't realize that he's lying to us. Let me tell you something. Here's the way you can tell Satan's lying. Yeah. He opens his mouth, or he tells you something different than the Word of God. You know, we've been taught things like let me give you an example. Now, please, I told Gerald, look at my Bible. My son, Kelly, the one we was talking about a while ago, bought me this Bible cover 2 years ago for Christmas. It's a cow. It's all leather. It's a part of a cow. It might have been a miniature cow. It was a total commitment either way. And this is a cow. And I told Gerald, I said, I was preaching this one place, and I was killing their sacred calves. I was saying stuff, and you know, they were sitting there going, looking around like that. And I said, "I know." I said, I killed my own sacred calves. I said, I made me a Bible cover out of them. I said, when I started seeing some of this stuff, I said, it about broke me too. But one of the things, now listen to me, this is one of the biggest deceptions of the devil, is when we think it's the Holy Spirit that's convicting us of sin as Christians. Now listen, you say, "Well, what are you talking about? The Holy Spirit convicts you of sin." No, the Bible says the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. The Holy Spirit convicts a believer of righteousness. You can't show me anywhere in the New Testament where it says that the Holy Spirit convicts a believer of sin. You say, "Well, what does that?" I sinned the other day and I felt terrible. What was causing that? Your own unrenewed mind. Your own unrenewed mind. See, we get to thinking that what we do is cause God to be upset with us. We get to, hey, let me tell you something. I hate to bust your bubble. Don't flatter yourself. God is not upset with you. God's not mad at you. There's no one on earth that can make God mad. You say, "Well, what about the devil?" He's already kicked his tail. He ain't mad at the devil no more. He probably pities him, because he turned all of us loose on him. Come on. In the name of Jesus, he turned all of us loose on him. Like Brother Jim says, or Charles, I don't know who said it, Gerald said it, Laverne. He's under our feet. We're not trying to get him there. He's there. Amen. And we exalt him. Oh, listen to this. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Now listen, I want to tell you something. The new covenant people are to God is not an army. We got to quit singing "Onward Christian Soldiers," marching on to war. God's not looking for an army. He's looking for a family. They had the army in the old covenant, amen. He's got a family in the new covenant. He's pulled you out of war, amen, and brought you home to your family. Come on, is anybody listening to me? He won the battle for you. It's already over, amen. We're not soldiers, amen. We're family. We are family. We're brothers and sisters, praise God. That's part of a family, isn't it? He's our father. That's part of a family, isn't it? We got a father. We also got the same father. So, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Not your knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. The real truth about God. The thing that you know, let me tell you something. The devil don't care how much stuff you blame on God. He'll help you. The devil don't care how much you think you have to do to be right with God. He'll help you do that too. If you get on a treadmill of thinking that you have to do something to get God to do something, Satan will pay your light bill. He'll see to it that you've got all the energy you need to do that. And then condemn you because he knows you can't. Amen? So, it's the knowledge of God that's important. Brother Jim, I was reading in the Word where it talks about how that all the fivefold ministry, as we call it, you know, has been given as a gift to the body of Christ. And as that gift to the body of Christ, it's given for a reason. It's to train you into doing the work of the ministry. Come on. Do the work of the ministry. You don't expect your pastor to have to run the hospital all the time. Praise God. Is that person in the hospital your brother or sister? Would you go visit him? Amen. And so, you know, that's ministry, you know, to edify one another, to help uplift one another. And then one of the keys there is until we all come into the unity of faith and the full stature of Christ. Now, unity of faith threw me off. I thought, you know, God, if we ever have to get this outfit unified in faith, we're going to have to pull all the camps out, bring them all together, and have them throw their camps off. I mean, and the Lord spoke to me and he said, that's not what I mean. I don't want you to unify your faith on who you think I am. He said, I want you to unify your faith on who I think you are. Come on. And I want to tell you something we can all unify on this right now. Everyone in here can unify on this. God loves you. God loves me. And that's where our faith can unify. Amen. And that's the thing that the prophets of God, the teachers of God, the pastors of God, the apostles of God, the evangelists of God need to be teaching the people, amen, that we can unify around one thing. God doesn't love one person in here more than he does the next. And that you're not getting him upset. He's not mad at you. He loves you. He died to show that, to prove that to you. What more could he do? What greater love have any man than he'd lay down his life for his brother? There's no greater love than that. Amen. And Jesus has already done that for you. He's done it. Then you think, well, you know, why do I feel so guilty? Well, the Bible says that he said in Romans, the 12th chapter, Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, my brother and sister, amen, both of you. He said, I beseech you, therefore, you get that in a minute, and that you present your body a holy sacrifice. Which is your reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can know that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I've heard people teach on this, and they say, well, you know, God has a good will, and then he's got a will that he kind of accepts, and then he's got the perfect will. But no, they're all the same. God's will is perfect, God's will is acceptable, and God's will is good. Amen. It's all together. But the thing about it is the point he wants you to get through to you is that when you conform your mind to God, you'll find out that his will towards you is good, his will towards you is acceptable, and his will towards you is what? Perfect, yeah. That's his will towards you. You can't say that God is good all the time unless you know that he's on your side. People's got all kinds of opinions of God. You know, they say the earthquake or the tornadoes out there was an act of God. God don't act that way. That ain't the way God acts. You know, and then you talk about all these terrible things that happens, and somebody, you know, people, thank God that people knew me well enough to not walk up to me and say that God needed a flower in his garden. You know, my son was more of a dandelion than he was a flower. You understand what I'm saying? Or a cactus. And I thank God that nobody said that to me. But see, you got to know some things about God. You have to know these things about God. And here's what you have to know: that he's God. The Bible says if you want to be rewarded, he said, hey, them that come to God must know that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That he is who? He's God. God's God. I was laying on an operating table one day, and I had my doctor, three doctors standing around me, and they was getting ready to do a procedure on me. A procedure. That could range from a lot of things. You know what I'm saying? I've had them do procedures on me with long tubes. That is a procedure. I asked my urologist. He's kind of a little guy, you know. And you have to laugh when you go into them kind of places if they're going to do any good for you. You know what I'm saying? I said, "Have you ever had this done to you?" He said, "No." He said, "There'll be a little discomfort." I said, "How do you know? Let me do you. And let me see how you react. Come on. You're practicing on me. A procedure." I said, "What'd you do? Run around when you was a kid with a little tube around your neck saying I'm going to be a urologist? I mean, how does a person decide that they're going to be one of them things?" But these doctors were standing over getting ready. This is a different procedure, getting ready to do another procedure on me. And I looked up at them and I said, "Hey," I said, "you know the difference between God and a doctor?" They said, "No." I said, "God don't think he's a doctor." I shouldn't have said that. I never even got to count backwards. I mean, I was out, man. I woke up and I had been proceeded on. Thank you, Jesus. God knows he's God. God knows his thoughts towards you. They're not evil. They're peace, not evil. Hallelujah. And then he says, and he said it's for an expected end. And that word also means expectance. Expectance. He knows that everything that he expects out of you, that you can do it, and he's there to back you. Yes. With peace, no evil. Can you imagine how wonderful it'd be that if you just always knew that you had peace? You know, when man fell in the garden, and God come to talk to him, the first thing that man said after he fell, God said, "Where are you?" And he said, "I'm hiding." He said, "Why?" He said, "Because I'm naked." He said, "Why are you hiding?" He said, "Because I was afraid. I was afraid." The first thing that happened when God came back and Jesus was born and the angels come out of heaven said, "Fear not." Man, there's a difference between fallen man and risen man. There's a difference, amen, between the old covenant and the new covenant. But we're living a different time now. Man, and God says, "Fear not. Fear not. Fear not." Amen. You know, when he said that, he wasn't saying, "There's a tornado coming. I don't want you to ever be afraid of a tornado. I don't want you to be afraid of an earthquake." He says, "I don't want you to be afraid of me. Fear not. You don't have to be afraid of me. Adam was afraid of me because he had sinned. He was afraid of me. But I've taken care of that. Fear not." Amen. Don't be afraid of God. You know, when the angels heralded out of heaven and said, "Peace on earth and goodwill towards men." Peace on earth and goodwill towards men. You know that he wasn't talking about peace between husband and wife. Come on. If he meant that, we're all sinners. At some times and others. Some more than others. Not me and my wife. Peace on earth and good. He didn't mean peace between nations. We know that that's not so. I mean, God would be a liar if that was so. That's not so. What do you mean then? He meant peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Peace I make with you, goodwill towards you. That you're no longer at war with me. I'm no longer at war with you. I've made peace with mankind. Jesus is your peace. Amen. Come on. And any time that we need to wonder about how we stand with God, look at Jesus. Yeah. Any time you have to wonder. I wish people would be honest. I wish you'd be honest. Because if you could ever be honest, amen, if you could ever tell the truth, we could straighten you out. Let me give you an example. I know this for a fact. I don't even have to know this in the spirit, but I do know this in the spirit. that even ever since these meetings, even since these meetings have been going on this morning, where God was moving, His Spirit was moving to heal, and all these different wonderful things that's been going on in the praise and worship, there's been some of you sitting back there saying, "Well, I wish I really knew if God loved me." Come on. Who'd be honest enough to confess that? Who'd be honest enough to say that? Because let me tell you something. If that's the way you're thinking, then you haven't renewed your mind. It's your mind that's telling you that. It's Satan in the first person that's telling you that. It's not God. God's thoughts are different than that. God's thoughts are not your thoughts. Amen? His thoughts are higher. And He knows His thoughts towards you. He said, "I know my thoughts towards you." Don't you be thinking different, amen, than what I think about you. Don't you be thinking different than that. I know my thoughts towards you. Those are not my thoughts. Amen. I used to read that scripture over in Galatians where it says, "In Christ Jesus, circumcision availeth nothing, or non-circumcision, but faith which worketh by love." And I'd listen to all the love tapes. You know, walk in love, walk in love, walk in love, walk in love, walk. And I'm just going to be honest with you. There were some people that I'd just as soon rip their lips off in the name of Jesus as look at them. They'd talked about my family. They'd tried to starve my family. You know what I'm saying? And you say, "Oh, I'm just walking in love." Oh, I am, because somebody's watching me. If God had turned his back for a second, I'd have knocked him in the head and told him they got run over by a truck. Come on. And so I was, that scripture, every time I'd read that scripture, you know, when you find a scripture in there that pricks your heart, when you find a scripture in there that makes you a little uncomfortable, you just go to the next one. Let's find one I like. And so I was reading that one day, and He slipped up on me. I was reading over there, and I didn't know I was going to hit that one, and I hit that one, and I started thinking, man, I've tried walking in love. You know, some people you can't be good to. It's like being good to a dog with mud on their feet. You know what I'm saying? They'll jump up on you. And they'll get mud all over you. You know, you want to be nice to them, but man, they got mud on their feet. And they're going to leave a mark on you. Who was the old comedian? What was his name? The little heavyset guy. He'd say, "That's going to leave a mark. That's going to leave a mark." Anyway. Chris Farley. And that's a comedian. Are you here? No. That wasn't a word of knowledge. But anyway, one time I was in a service and I called out a name and there wasn't nobody there and I said, "Get the phone book. We're going to find that person." Hallelujah. I'd rather say that than I missed it. Okay. But God said, "That's not what that means." He said, "It doesn't mean that you have to walk around and love everybody." He said, "I want you to love everybody," but He said, "You can't give away something you don't have. If you don't understand my love, and if you haven't received my love for you, you'll never be able to love anybody else." Come on, you can't give away something you don't have. Forgiveness is the same way. You know, we've been beat over the head with scriptures of forgiveness that says, you know, that if I don't forgive you, God won't forgive me. Well, you know what? I would hate to think that God's great forgiveness depended on my forgiveness. Because the new covenant says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted one another, loving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath," past tense, "forgiven you." And see, when I can receive that, when I can receive that forgiveness, I can forgive you. But I can't give you something I don't have. If I walk around all the time wondering whether God forgive me, how can I forgive you? And when I was reading that scripture that way, how can I walk in love, amen, when I was thinking that God didn't love me if I didn't walk in love? Are you listening to me? I'm glad. When I look at somebody, I'm not really looking at you. But I happen to see you then because He poked you. That's walking in love. Okay, anyway, I said that. He said, "That's not what that means." He said, "I'm not talking about your love for someone else." He said, "I'm talking about your faith will only work when you understand my love for you." I said, "Whoa, God, that's a revelation." I said, "How do I know that you're telling me that?" He said, "Get up some morning thinking I don't love you and see how much faith you got." Come on. When you don't think that God loves you, when you're wondering whether God loves you or not, your faith is on below zero. How could you ever have any faith to do anything if you can't have faith for the simplest thing, that God loves you and you had nothing to do with it? He did it all. He even gave you His faith. Had a woman come to me one time out in Kansas City, and she said, "I don't think I've got a bit of faith." I said, "Are you born again?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "Did you believe in Jesus?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "You believe that Jesus was born of a virgin?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "You believe that Jesus died on the cross?" "Yeah." I said, "You believe that Jesus was dead for 3 days?" "Yeah." I said, "You believe that God raised Him from the dead?" "Yeah." I said, "There ain't nothing wrong with your faith. You ain't seen any of that. I mean, what's the matter with us? Why do you think... Why do you suppose that God gave you the measure of faith and it was His? Why do you suppose He did that? Let me tell you why. Can I tell you why? Say, why, Pastor? Why, why? I'm going to tell you. Because if I stood up here, listen to me, if I stood up here and started pointing out all your faults, and you'd think I was reading your mail, and I'd probably be thinking about myself, and I pointed out all your faults, it wouldn't take one grain of faith for you to believe that. Not one ounce. And you'd think, boy, that man, that's a man of God. He's heard from God. No, I just heard from ignorance. I'm just thinking about an unrenewed mind. But let me tell you something. What if I said you're holy? What if I said you're righteous? What if I'd say you're holy and unreprovable to God? Amen. Accepted of God. Perfect. You say, whoa, man. That takes faith for me to believe that. Now you're getting it. And only God's faith in you could believe that. Amen? Because it's His story. You know, if you're going to read a book, you got to have faith in the author. If you don't like the author of a book, you won't like his book. Come on. I had a guy that I graduated from high school wrote a book. And the title of it is How to Survive Life as a Dumb Blank. Fill in the blank. And I thought, you know, I'm going to read that book because he's right. You know, I knew him. And I had faith in him, and I read that book, and I believed everything he said in it. Come on. But see, how in the world are you going to get anything from God if you don't believe His Word and if you don't have faith in the author? You see, here's the thing. I believe God because I know God. Come on, I know Him. Paul commended, Church of Galatians said, you know, he said, now that you know God or rather knowing of God, knowing by God, that's more important than you knowing Him. Him knowing you is the real deal. Amen? And you have faith in the operation of God. How many has faith in the operation of God? You see, the operation of God is Him doing a procedure on you. Amen. I'd rather have God do a procedure on me. Amen. That's why we get slain in the Spirit. God's getting ready to do a procedure on us. Amen. He's getting ready to do something in our lives that changes it. And you know what it'll always do? Let me tell you something. Anything that the Holy Ghost does to you in your life will do the simple. This is the simplest thing. Come on. This is the simplest thing. It'll point you to Jesus. He said, when He comes, He's going to lead you into all truth, and the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Say Holy Ghost. The Comforter. Jesus, one place, called Him another Comforter. So that means that, you know, when the people was walking around with Jesus, was Jesus a Comforter when He was on earth? To everyone that needed comfort, He was a Comforter to them, wasn't He? He said, it's expedient for me to go. He said, if I don't go, He said, I can't send you the Comforter. And in one place He says, another Comforter. In other words, so He's going to be a Comforter like I was. So why would the Holy Spirit want to pick on you? You know, here, let me say something. With most people's conception or perception of the Holy Ghost, if it was true, Satan could go on a vacation. Yeah. But the Holy Ghost is a Comforter. And He's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. And He won't speak of Himself. Amen? But he speaks of Jesus. He always speaks of Jesus. The Bible says that true prophecy is a testimony of Jesus. That's what I enjoy so much about Connie and Brother Jim's prophecies, is they're always uplifting, edifying.
Hallelujah.
Amen? They build you up. Does Jesus build you up?
Right.
He didn't come to the world to condemn the world, did he?
Right.
But he came to the world to save the lost. Jesus came to save the lost. And so I want today, here's what I want you to do. I want you to close your eyes right now. And I want you to get a concept of God like you've never had before, that he's looking at you, but he's seeing you through what Jesus Christ has done for you. And you know, for us to badmouth ourselves and to condemn ourselves and put ourselves down is not good at all. We're going against the Word of God. We're going against God's heart in that. Now, I want you to look back up, and I want to finish the story about the doctor. Now I forgot it again. What was I going to say about that doctor? Concept thinking. Well, it doesn't matter. Thank you, Jesus. I thought that come back to me and I lost it. Must not have been me. Must have been the devil. All right. Oh, no, it wasn't the doctor. It was a preacher. I closed my eyes. I got it back again. This preacher said he was having nightmares and dreams. And he said, ever since you started talking to me about grace and the unconditional love of God and how God's not mad at us, and he said, I preach three messages a day or a week. And he said, I asked God, he said, God, what do you think of me? What do you think? How do you see me? He said, I'm not preaching what that guy's preaching. He said, what do you think of me? And he said, I got an open vision. And he said, it was a cross. And he said, I looked in the center right where the crossbars go across. And he said, there was a hole. And I went up and I looked at it. And he said, it was God looking at me. And he said, that's how I see you. Through the cross. That's how I see you. I said, man, that's a grace message. I said, you need to preach that. I said, that'll preach, man. And so he got it. He finally got what he was looking for. Amen. He got it. That's the way God sees you. He, like I said before, quit flattering yourself. You're not unique. I know that God, you know, God makes every snowflake is individual. Every leaf on the trees. You think about all these leaves. There's not two leaves alike. Only God could do that. And the only way that you're unique is that you're perfectly made. And you're not unique to each other, and you're not unique, but you're perfectly made because God made you that way, amen? And this world don't deserve you. Come on. It don't deserve you. And God knew that. That's why he's making a better place for us. He's going to get us out of here. Come on, God, come on. He's going to get us out of here. Ooh, ooh. Getting me excited. I'm about ready to do a rapture drill here. I haven't done one of them in a long time. Let me tell you that story, and then we'll close. I was in West Virginia, and we was doing meetings there, and I went to a Radio Shack to upgrade my equipment. Got me a 9-cell battery. Anyway, I stepped out of the Radio Shack, and the other guy was still in there, and there was a guy standing there, and he looked a little... He just looked like somebody needed Jesus to me, you know. And so I eased up beside him, and I got to talking to him. I said, hey, I said, you know God loves you? He does. I said, yeah. And I don't know where I was. I let him. But anyway, I thought I led him to the Lord. And just as quick as I said, led him through the prayer, he asked Jesus in his heart. He stepped back from me and jumped up in the air as high as he could and hollered, rapture drill! he hit the sidewalk. I looked at him and I said, what? I said, rapture drill? He said, yeah. He said, I'm saved. He said, I just wanted to see your technique. I had to follow his notch out of my gun. But anyway, I thought that was the neatest thing. I'd never seen a rapture. You know, I've been in fire drills, flood drills. I mean, you've been in all these kind of drills, you know, that you hope it'll never happen. But what about a rapture drill? So let's do one. Amen. Everybody that can, stand, stand. Hallelujah. And we're going to do a rapture drill. Thank you, Jesus. And I'll tell you what, this will get you through perilous times. Run around jumping. You know, one day, if you jumped all the time, one day you'd hit it. And you wouldn't come back down. What better way to spend time? So on the count of three, we're all going to jump as high as we can and shout rapture drill. All right. I did this at Gerald's church so many times. One year at camp meeting, they put a door on the ceiling. Remember when they did that? Thank you, Jesus. All right, are you ready? One. Get your breath. Now you can let it go. Two. Three. Rapture drill. All right. Praise God. Now. Okay. Be seated. Now, because I don't know everybody in here, we'll have to have you bag your heads, close your eyes, get my pants come down. But anyway, thank you, Jesus. Brother, I was just drawn to you. You and is this your father-in-law or is your friend-in-law? Or? And he's just a...
He's a friend. He's a husband.
He's an outlaw. Hey, if you're not an in-law... I'll tell you what. Are you born again, brother? Are you baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues? All right, we'll get to that in a minute. How about you, brother? You're not, are you? I knew that. All right, I want you two guys to come up here. Come up here. Thank you, Jesus. And then I want everybody else in here that's not baptized in the Holy Ghost, I want you to come up here. Amen? Everybody's not baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the evidence of speaking in tongues, I want you to come. Come on. I know you're in here. Come on. Come on. Come on. I'll call you out if you don't come on your own. Come on. Come on. How about born again? Is everybody in here born again? You know what Jerry was going to say, what I was going to say? We had 600 and almost 700 people. We had 635 and 625. How many is that? No, we had 675 and 635. And yeah, 700. Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah, 300, yeah. Not 6. 700 people saved, and that church was supernatural. And you know one of the things, and of course the devil couldn't stand that. And that church didn't belong to me; it belonged to somebody else. And they ended up, you know, letting the devil get in. But here's the thing that God showed me. You know, so many times, and I don't know why we're like this. I don't know why Christians are like it. My brother, go ahead and sit down over there a second. I don't want you to have to stand up here. Go on, sit down. So many times. All right. I love you, brother. I looked over at you over there while you're my kind of man, brother. I know you are. And I looked at the. So many times, you know, we're not bold enough by talking about being born again and being baptized in the Holy Ghost. What's the matter with us? We're not ashamed of it. Amen. And so why do we want to sneak it in on people? So many times. So I got to where we was hauling people in from the rehab center, and we had a bus, and we'd haul them in by the bus loads, and they'd come in there, and they were on a 3-week program. We were getting them delivered. We still get letters from some of them, and they'd come in on this 3-week program, and a lot of them was out of St. Louis, different places, and they start coming to our church, and they was new people coming in each week. Well, they would tell the people, "You got to go to this church. You got to go to this church." He said, "That guy over there talks about the love of God." And one of the things I always tell people when they come in, I said, I'm not here to tell you what's wrong with you. You ain't got time. But I will tell you what's right about God. Amen. And so it got to where I could stand up in the morning and these people would be in there, not only them, other people. And I'd say, how many come to get saved this morning? And hands would go up all over the place. I've never had that happen. I've been an evangelist, traveled all over the world, and I've never had that happen. That was the most supernatural thing I ever seen. Those people come in, they were happy, they were excited about getting saved. And I'd say, well, just hold on. I said, I got to preach first. You can't get saved before I preach. and I'd preach, and then I had a team come up and stand back here, and I'd say, all right, everybody that will raise your hand to get saved, come up here and hook up with these guys, and they'll lead you to the Lord. And while they was doing that, I'd go around and operate in words of knowledge, and pray for people. And what a wonderful time we were having. We went to Scotland. I don't know how many people we've seen saved in Scotland, and we come back, we found out the devil had got his troops together and caused a big hallabaloo. You wouldn't think that would ever happen in a church. I said, you wouldn't think that ever happened in a church. You wouldn't think that ever happened in a church. It won't ever happen in this church. Amen. And so, but I'm just saying that that's the way it ought to be. You people ought to leave here so excited, amen, about what Jesus is doing in your life that when somebody, you see somebody you haven't seen for a while, bring them to church. Get it to where Pastor Gerald can do the same thing, amen. Step up there and say, how many come to get saved this morning?
Amen.
How many is here to get saved? You'd be surprised what that does for the rest of the crowd.
Yeah.
Man, when they start seeing their fruit, you know, they start seeing the fruit of their labors, you know, within the midst of the congregation. So don't hold back on anything here this morning.
No.
You know, if there's anything in your life that you haven't already received, amen, I want you to get up here and get it. We got time. The food's here, isn't it? We don't have to go out after it. Praise God, you get too hungry, run back there, grab you a sandwich, come back in. We want to get some stuff done here. Amen? In your lives. We want to get some stuff done. What about Maxine? Your husband, is he baptized in the Holy Ghost? Get up here. What are you doing back here? Get up here. Thank you, Jesus. This is my buddy here. Hallelujah. I got to watch him, though. He likes my mustache. He covets my mustache. All right, you get over here with the rest of them. All right, who else? Come on, anybody else? Come on. Thank you, Jesus. You? You mean the Holy Ghost will fit in you? Same Holy Ghost that fits in me will fit in you? All right. Okay. All right, you sit down over there. We're getting a roll here now. Come on. You want a roll? Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? How many in here, look, listen to me. How many has got this message of God's unconditional love rolling around in your brain, and you've just almost got it, but then something always happens that it's just something, it just seems like it's too good to be true. Anybody in here like that? You just almost got it. You almost got that God really does love you in spite of you instead of because of you. Come on. That's what he does, you know. He loves you in spite of you instead of because of you. Thank God that we can't change his love. He wouldn't be much of a God, would he? He'd be a denomination. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. All right, guys, come on. The invitation's still out. The invitation's still out, guys. Come on. All right. Here, you get back right here. Right there. Here, let him in the middle of here. Let's get this right. See, he's taking a picture. No, you need to go over here. All right. Now, I pray for the people the same way all around the world. The only place that I wasn't sure the people were speaking in tongues was in India. I had to have an interpreter. And when they couldn't interpret, I knew they were speaking in tongues. And so, but I pray this. You know, the baptism of the Holy Ghost doesn't come from the outside in. You know, for years we'd tell people, you know, that it's going to come upon you and it's going to do all this stuff. And there'd be people telling you to hang on. Other people tell you to turn loose. And somebody would be grabbing a hold of you saying, tie my bow tie, untie my bow tie, ride my Honda and Suzuki too. And but Jesus is the baptizer. Come on. He's the baptizer. He said, you know, he said, I'll baptize you. And he said, when I baptize you in my spirit, he said, there'll be rivers of living water flow up out of you. And he was teaching these people. And he said, you know, if we being evil know how to give good gifts unto our children, he said, how much more can the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And so what I do is I pray, and I have you pray with me, and you ask. Ask Jesus, say, baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, how many of you believe that Jesus could probably do his job? Then you can do yours. Your job is to receive, and your job is to, by faith, receive and loose that heavenly language. Amen. I want some people up here that pray in the Spirit. I want you to come up here and stand behind these guys and lay hands on them. Other ministers. And thank you, Jesus. All right. Now, here's the deal. We're going to pray, and then I'm going to have you say something, and then I'm going to lay hands on you. Amen. And as I lay hands on you, I want you to, by faith, just receive. And then by your faith, start releasing. And when you start releasing, if it's just one word, say it. Don't say it in English, and say it loud enough for your ears to hear it. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. Can you do that? I know you can, brother. I know you can. This guy here, he got saved at a camp meeting one time when I was here, right? Amen. Praise God. Well, it's time for you to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. What if I hadn't come back around? Thank you, Jesus. All right. Are you ready? Close your eyes. Quit looking at me. Okay. Close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you're my Lord and you're my Savior and you're my baptizer in the Holy Ghost. So when this man, and I ask you right now, Jesus, baptize me in your mighty Holy Spirit. And when this man of God lays hands upon me, I'll receive the Holy Ghost and I'll praise you in a heavenly language. All right, now, I know this, that God's done his part. All right, so now it's time for me to do mine. All right, you ready, brother? That's it, loud enough for your own ears to hear it. That's it, brother. Louder. Come on, brother. Well, that's it, come on. Thank you, Jesus. You ain't even opening your mouth. Come on, you old Kentuckian. Praise God. Get the praise. There it is. No, that's English. Come on. That's it. That's it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. You praising? You doing it? Amen. Now, who's this young man belong to? Oh, good. Praise God. And he was born again? He was. Okay. All right. Now you can pray in tongues with your daddy. Amen. You know, the great thing about being able to pray in the Spirit, listen to me. One thing about it, you'll never get road rage if you can pray in the Spirit because you can't cuss in the Spirit. Amen. And another thing you can do is if you see an ambulance or every time I see an ambulance, every time I hear a siren, I start praying in tongues. Because I don't know how to pray for the people that may be in trouble, but the Holy Spirit does. And that's a powerful tool. Man, if every Christian would do that every time they saw something like that happen, I bet there's been lives saved, Brother Gerald, don't you? From somebody just praying in the Spirit, amen, when they didn't know how else to pray, and how powerful that is. We forget how powerful that is. What a powerful thing it is. Brother Jim, it's a refreshing thing, isn't it? It's a refreshing thing. One time I was going to a hospital down in Louisville to see a person. I can't remember now who the person was, but I was praying in the Spirit because I was really concerned about him. And I walked out of the parking lot and got in the elevator and was praying in tongues. And I walked in and there was a guy standing in there. And I didn't he's looking at me so strange, and I didn't even realize I was doing it. And then I realized I was praying in tongues. I was there going, and he looked at me and I said, you don't know what I'm doing, do you? He said, no. And I told him, I said, I was praying in the Spirit. I said, that was the Holy Ghost inside of me praying. I was praying for somebody. And I looked at him, and God gave me a word of knowledge for him. And what was it, his daughter or son, wasn't it, Jerry? I said, has been gone, and they're coming home. And he didn't have any idea where they were. And that set that man free. I mean, you know. And so, you know, we never know the power that's in us acting like a Christian, acting like a fanatic, acting like we believe in Jesus. Amen. We used to have a youth group in our church, and one of the songs they sung was, what if I was to say, what is it, Jesus? Wasn't that what the song was? What if I was to say Jesus? And the song goes, if I was in an elevator, what if I was to say Jesus? You know, crowded elevator. What if I was there, what if I was to say Jesus? Yeah. And that's the way we need to be. What if he was to say Jesus?
Amen.
What if you was to say, talk about, this world belongs to God, amen? It doesn't belong to the enemy. This thing belongs to us, amen? It belongs to the people that He's put here to inhabit it. You know, this is our place. It's not the world's place. It's like what Brother Charles said, or Brother Jim said about watching the news. Or I think that was Charles said watching it. You know, if you watch the news, man, I tell you what, you talk about digging a grave. Yeah. You just feel like going and digging a hole and getting in it and not getting out. But it's not that way in God's kingdom. It's not that way in God's world. He's got an expected end for you. His thoughts are different. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Are you guys excited or what?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's it. Pray for me every night in tongues, will you? Amen. Praise God. Gary and I, you know, like I said, we couldn't express enough. And Brother Gerald, thank you so much for inviting us. And this has been more of a blessing to us than we can tell you.
Yes. I just want to encourage those that just got filled with the Holy Ghost. I guarantee you, you're going to get thoughts, oh, that's just me. Oh, this is silly. That's when you got to press through and just keep on. You got to press through because the devil will try to steal it. He comes immediately to steal what God places in you. So I encourage you to speak in tongues as you're driving in the car, whatever, you know, and because that's the language that the enemy cannot penetrate. He does not know what. It's a connection between the Spirit inside of you and the Spirit of God, and it's the perfect prayer. It's just so powerful. We underestimate the power of praying in tongues. And you'll be going along and you'll forget. Don't we all do this? Is it just me? I'll be going along having a prayer. Wait a minute, I can pray in tongues. Yes, so I felt like that was from the Lord to really encourage you men of God that came up here to draw yourself closer to God through that wonderful gift.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. I'm done. Oh, wait a minute. I want to receive an offering. Close your eyes, bow your head just for a second. I want to receive an offering. Okay, now open your eyes. Now, I want to see a smile offering. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. I've been around Clifton for 20 some years, and I still think he's unique. Hallelujah. But I tell you what, you won't find anybody anywhere that has more compassion to see people come to get to know Jesus Christ than you will Clifton Coulter. And I used to think that the only two things he could preach on was getting saved and the baptism of the Holy Ghost when I first met him. And now he's added grace. Yeah, and the procedure. But you know, it's important that we communicate effectively with one another. Yeah, you know, I think that some of the greatest differences in the church is not because there's differences, it's because of a lack of communication. And I like what he said. I don't know if you caught it or not. The difference between a doctor and God, that God doesn't think he's a doctor. But communication is very, very important. A couple walked into a restaurant, meeting another couple for lunch. Came in and sat down. A couple looked at the other couple that just walked in. The guy had a black eye. And he said, "What happened to you?" His wife said, "Oh, it was a mistake. It was a failure in communication." "What happened?" "Well, we were getting ready to leave this morning, and I asked him how I looked. And he said, "You look quite elegant." And I thought he said, "You look like an elephant." So say your words very clearly. Like last night. Hey, if you missed something, you don't know what you missed. Well, we've got one more. We have one more opportunity this weekend. And I'll tell you what, I'm really believing that all the seed that's been sowed this weekend not going to grow up and be finished tonight. Their seeds are going to start growing. They're going to grow next week and the next week and the next week. But we're blessed to have you with us this morning. And I'm going to ask everybody to stand. And we're going to be dismissed. Bring somebody with you tonight. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come before you right now, we thank you, Lord God, for your blessing. We thank you, Lord God, for your pouring your Spirit out upon our brothers this morning. Stirring up in our own heart. Thank you, Lord God, for the healings and the ministry that you did in the Spirit this morning, Lord God. And Father, as we leave here, let us leave here with an attitude and with a countenance that would cause people to say, "What do you have? I like what I see in you." I pray a blessing, Lord God, of prosperity and health. Amen. Upon your people. May they prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jerry, I can't talk. We are having lunch, and it was not my idea, and I want you to know he knew nothing about it until Clifton said it just a few minutes ago, because he turned and looked at me. We're having lunch in honor of his birthday. Amen. And 40 years in ministry. There's enough food. You're welcome to stay. Even if you didn't bring anything, just come on in and join us. And they'll tell you what to do. Brother Jerry's back there, and he'll tell you where to go and what to do. So do you want to pray in here or pray in there? We'll just offer the blessing right now.
Hallelujah. Well, Father, we just thank you for the time of fellowship. We thank you, Lord God, for the service that's been given. We thank you, Father God, that as we join together now for a time of refreshing and food, Lord, that your blessings upon it. We call it blessed. We thank you for everyone that's participating, Lord. And Lord, just let it be a great time in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.